Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we hear the Gospel of Zacchaeus, we know that the Great Lent cannot be far behind. If we were following the lectionary of the Russian Church, of the Moscow Liturgicon, we would have found that this reading would come a few weeks later as part of those Sundays that actually lead up to or are most closely connected to leading up to the Great Fast itself. In our Antiochian tradition, I don't know exactly why, but that is not the case. We get this a little earlier. But for those of us who have been used to hearing it as part of Lent coming, we can always use a little bit more of a heads up than we've been getting. And when we hear the story of Zacchaeus, I can relate to Zacchaeus a little bit more as I get older, because I think that if I were Zacchaeus, probably I would have been coming to a time in my life when I was doing some review, when I was looking at my life, when I was taking some sort of account of how my life had been going. And probably Zacchaeus came to a point where he said, you know, there's got to be a little bit more to life than this. There's got to be more to why I was put here on the planet than just collecting the money by being probably rather corrupt in the job, because that was the nature of the job, by being hated by all the people who were of my town because I was the tax collector and nobody likes the tax collector. There's got to be more to life than this. So we see Zacchaeus desiring to not only see Christ when he comes, but also we see Zacchaeus repenting. We see Zacchaeus not only deciding that he's not going to live this way any longer, but he's going to actually change his life. He's going to take some action. He's going to do something about it, because he sees that time is running out. Now, no doubt, had Zacchaeus been a young man, or as he was a young man, he wouldn't have been thinking that way. He would not have been aware of those things. But as he got older, it would have been very natural, just as it is for all of us, to wonder about these things more and more. So one of the things that you know I wonder about, and one of the things that I talk about more than anything now, because it's becoming more real for me, is that notion, a very orthodox spiritual notion, of the importance, the absolute necessity of the remembrance of death. But you know what I haven't been doing? I haven't been making it very real. I haven't been letting it be something that actually shows up not only in my life, maybe it was showing up there a little bit, but also in yours. And so this week, what crossed my mind is that I don't want, when you and I start to be encountering each other in the face of death, I don't want it to be as though we haven't been talking about these things. You know, there's nothing too much sadder than coming to talk with people when they have, let's say, an old parent or a grandparent who gets a diagnosis that they're going to be dying, that they're sick, that they have something very troubling to deal with. And to have the person ask the question, do you think that we should tell them? You know, and we go through all those kinds of struggles. Well, what do we do now? And it really reveals in us that we haven't been doing hardly anything at all. That if there's one thing that we put in a little box, we put it in a little compartment, and we set it aside. We know it's there very vaguely, but we keep it kind of well covered up and well protected. So I can even come up here, as I have very much over the last few years, and I can talk about these things, but there's still a way that I'm talking about something set aside in a box. Well, this morning I would like us to perhaps open the box just a little bit, and just for a moment, if not to leave it open, if not to stare deeply into it. Because one of these days, those of you who are middle-aged, us baby boomers, something's going to happen here in Greensburg where either, if it doesn't happen suddenly, either you're coming to visit me or I'm coming to visit you, and what we're facing is death. And you know what I would like to happen when that encounter comes? Whether you're coming to visit me or I'm coming to visit you, I would like to know that when our eyes, you know, make contact, that we kind of go, yeah, here we are. Here we are. And that we know why the other is coming to greet the other. why the other is coming to be with, and we're not afraid of it. And why will we not be afraid of it? We will not be afraid of it because we have opened the box, bothered to talk about it in preparation, bothered to look in there, be brave enough, courageous enough to face up to something that is most real, absolutely real, you know, and to find out that it need not be the fearful, frightening, scary thing that for most of us it still seems to be. Because if it weren't, we wouldn't have so much trouble talking about it. And then, as we were praying this morning, you know, it crossed my mind a little bit further just how we, and to use the word, resist death. What a pointless activity the resistance of death truly is. I mean, how can one resist death? And we'll do it even in a way that we dress it up and make it look good, like we're, you know, we've got a strong will to live. But it's still just a resistance to death. We've got some desire for healing and we believe in miracles, so we keep praying. But no, I think if we look a little harder, it's just simple fear and resistance. As Christians, there is nothing that ought to be more shameful to us when we discover that than that might be the case. Because we, in not that long a time, you know, as we get older, those weeks fly by, it'll be Holy Pascha before we know it. And what we find there is that Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who brought salvation to the house of Zacchaeus today, the one to whom Zacchaeus climbed up a tree to see, and who found his life transformed forever, even into eternity, what we find here is that Christ does not come to teach us how to resist death. Not at all. Not in the least. He comes to surrender to it. He comes to accept it. He comes to enter into it as the reality that it is. Because that is the only way he will trample it down and conquer it and give us eternal life. Now, if we're Christians, and as we hear ourselves described sometimes as being little Christs, then what is our job to do? And you know, Jesus didn't start out in the very beginning as a man, as a child, knowing these things. He didn't start out understanding these things. He grew in wisdom and his humanity. And likewise, we are called to do the same. And if we are on a path like Christ's path, then we also are called to grow in wisdom. And we are also called to be not only carriers of the message, but also carriers of the life that Christ himself offers to us. And the way we do that, and the way we witness to that, as we see whenever we look on the walls of the church, is by death. So just as we even glorify Christ hanging on the cross, as we sing Christ is risen, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life, well, so too, we should consider how that needs to show up in my life and how that is the very stamp of authenticity of my Christianity, of my being in Christ, is that I anticipate, I look forward to, and I'm ready to go to war to die. Specifically, most specifically, to die in Christ and to bear witness to those around me, just as the holiest of the people do, that death has no more dominion over us. So, what do we do? Well, as I said, keep a thought like that in mind, but not just for me. Wouldn't it be great if you could relieve your children of a great burden by talking to them about your impending death? It's not that scary. Every one of us is going to go through it. There's nothing we can do about it. The universe does not succumb to our yearnings and longings that we never die. We're going to die. The body is going to give out. It's already in process. We just don't know in what fashion. It's already marked there in our genetic makeup and in the unfolding of the story of our lives and in our families and all that. It's already there, already known. How can I be so abjectly, supremely foolish as to pretend that it's not? What kind of a little baby am I? What kind of a child? Immature, afraid, scared, shivering, afraid of the dark. when we call ourselves Christians, come into the light from the darkness. So, let us pray that God will give us some inspiration and let us connect with each other on that one. Because again, God willing, I'm here till the day I die in this area, you know, whether I'm serving as your priest or not. And God willing, you will be some of the people who will visit me when, God willing, I'm on my deathbed preparing for a Christian ending to my life. I want you to walk in there, and I want to be able to smile at you and you smile at me and say, well, here we are. Let's get on with it. You know, just like the saints do. Because if we do that, how marvelous, because you see, what happens is we walk through this life under that cloud and we can't even see it. That the way in which we walk through this life as though we're just going to try and do the best we can, and we'll put on a smile and we'll try and be a little bit cheerful, but see, the elephant in the room is our death. The elephant in the room, the thing that is so large and looming, but we dare not talk about it superstitiously as though that will somehow activate it even more fully. That's the one. And when we get past that one, then it's all good. It's all joy. It's all light and life. And that's what I want when you come and visit me. And that's what I would pray for you if I am the one coming and visiting you. That we look at each other, that there's nothing there to be said except to give each other a hug, tell each other we love each other, not try and make sense of it then when we're going, you know, kind of a little bit bonkers anyway because of what's happening. No, that's no time to try and be preparing or getting ready or trying to understand. Let us understand these things now. Let us work on these things now. And then it becomes an easy ride into those things. It becomes a joyful, anticipated, known about, no surprises kind of existence. And how wonderful that is, because we can depend on that certainty and where it will bring us in Christ. So, my brothers and sisters, God bless all of us with a willingness to take that box from wherever we put it, set it in the center of the table every so often, open it up and look into it. And start to begin to notice that there truly is nothing in there. Because the life that Christ gives us, the salvation he brings us, just as he brought it to Zacchaeus, who knew it was time to change, he also pours out infinitely and beautifully and perfectly lovingly on every single one of us. Let us be brave and endeavor to walk down that road that Zacchaeus walked down, because it had to be a fearful thing for him to make a decision to change. And let us also commit ourselves to opening up to these things, to the glory of God, to our salvation, and to our own ability to minister to each other. Amen.